Welcome to Throwing Mountains Weekly Strength. I'm your host, Chris Bollinger. For the next 12 minutes or so, we're going to draw strength from the Bible. I encourage you to make this a daily practice on your own. Is pride good or bad? Many would argue that pride, especially healthy pride, is good. According to a 2016 article in Psychology Today, we all need more pride, not less. Why? Because pride enables us to achieve, create, discover, and invent. It's at least partially responsible for many of our greatest accomplishments, from artistic masterpieces and groundbreaking scientific discoveries to world-changing technological inventions. According to the Good Men Project site, good men need a healthy sense of pride because it takes boldness to do big things. It takes strength to speak up for what is right. Pride causes us to stand up for what we believe, cheer on the underdog, and reach for more than anyone believes is possible. Healthy pride allows us to smile at our abilities and the abilities of others, despite the level of either. Want to be a better husband? Consider the advice of marriage advocate John Trone.
Just freaking adore my wife.
Yeah.
I genuinely adore my wife. And I want to be the best husband, the best father. I want to take care of her. I want to serve her. I want my wife to brag on the type of man that I am for her. And I take pride in that.
Yeah.
I take pride in being the best husband that I can be for my wife. And sometimes, even when I do things that I don't feel like doing that I do for you, I do it anyway because I want to be the best husband possible for my wife.
Right.
Period.
According to Kansas City Chiefs kicker Harrison Butker, a Christian can have God-centered pride.
Another liberal arts school with nothing to set it apart, to a thriving beacon of light, and a reminder to us all that when you embrace tradition, success, worldly and spiritual, will follow. I am certain the reporters at the AP could not have imagined that their attempt to rebuke and embarrass places and people like those here at Benedictine wouldn't be met with anger, but instead met with excitement and pride. Not the deadly sin sort of pride that has an entire month dedicated to it, but the true God-centered pride that is cooperating with the Holy Ghost to glorify Him. Reading that article now shared all over the world, we see that in the complete surrender of self and a turning towards Christ, you will find happiness.
And National Review encourages Christians to take pride in America's heritage. Because Christianity and biblical religion are essential to the American political tradition. Because Christianity has played an important role not only in our nation's founding, but also in abolitionism during the 19th century and the civil rights movement of the 20th. And because many Americans today are inspired by their Christian faith to care for the migrant, the refugee, for children in need of fostering, and for women facing unexpected pregnancies. So come on, everybody, sing with me now.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land.
And now, as Paul Harvey used to say, here's the rest of the story. The Bible passage for this episode is Luke 18, 9-14. I'll read it from the ESV, the English Standard Version. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. It was 1941. England had survived the Blitz, a series of massive German air attacks, but the cost had been great, with tens of thousands of civilians killed and 1 million houses destroyed or damaged. With the rattled British population preparing itself for a long and bloody war, the British Broadcasting Corporation expanded its religious broadcasting to provide reassurance. That expansion included some short talks by an Oxford fellow named C.S. Lewis, who had impressed BBC Brass with his apologetic work, The Problem of Pain. Lewis's first two sets of talks focused on apologetics. For the third series, he shifted gears to cover Christian behavior. Here's the beginning of one of his radio addresses on that topic.
Today I come to that part of Christian morals where they differ most sharply from all other morals. There is one vice of which no man in the world is free, which everyone in the world loathes when he sees it in someone else, and of which hardly any people except Christians ever imagine that they are guilty themselves. I have heard people admit that they are bad-tempered, or that they cannot keep their heads about gyris or drink, or even that they are cowards. I do not think I have ever heard anyone who was not a Christian accuse himself of this vice. And at the same time, I have very seldom met anyone who was not a Christian who showed the slightest mercy to it in others. There is no fault which makes a man more unpopular, and no fault which we are more unconscious of in ourselves. And the more we have it ourselves, the more we dislike it in others. The vice I'm talking of is pride or self-conceit, and the virtue opposite to it in Christian morals is called humility. You may remember when I was talking about sexual morality, I warned you that the center of Christian morals did not lie there. Well, now we have come to the center. According to Christian teachers, the essential vice, the utmost evil, is pride. Unchastity, anger, greed, drunkenness, and all that are mere flea bites in comparison. It was through pride that the devil became the devil. Pride leads to every other vice. It is the complete anti-God state of mind.
Lewis spent the rest of his talk giving reasons why pride is the worst of all sins. Here are six reasons. 1. A proud person has to be better than everyone else. 2. A proud person is never satisfied. 3. A proud person craves power. 4. Pride makes you God's enemy. 5. Pride makes you vulnerable to the devil. And 6. You can be blind to your own pride. Lewis's position on pride has plenty of biblical support. Here are some examples. Psalm 10, verses 2 to 4 says this, "In arrogance the wicked hotly pursue the poor. Let them be caught in the schemes that they have devised. For the wicked boasts of the desires of his soul, and the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord. In the pride of his face the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God." Many verses in the book of Proverbs speak against pride. Here are 3. Proverbs 11:2. "When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom." Proverbs 16:18. "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Proverbs 29:23. "One's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor." Isaiah 2:12 says this, For the Lord of hosts has a day against all that is proud and lofty, against all that is lifted up, and it shall be brought low. James 4:6 and 1 Peter 5:5 have the same quote. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And Jesus reserved his harshest criticism for the Pharisees primarily because of their pride, as captured in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector that I read a few minutes ago. So how do we avoid what Lewis calls the utmost evil? How do we rid ourselves of pride? Our goal is to follow the example of Jesus as explained in Philippians 2, 5-11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. But where do we start? The first step, Lewis said, is to admit that you struggle with pride. If you don't think you are conceited, he said, then you are very conceited indeed. Next week, I'll look at another tough topic, the topic of race. I hope you'll join me for that. Please pick up a copy of 52 Weeks of Strength for Men. You'll find it to be a good resource on this journey. Have a good week, men.